Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. It's good. I love Christmas. Don't you love Christmas? I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, what an amazing plan that God had to come and be with us. And I'm just excited to share. I love preaching Christmas messages. I love reading the Christmas story because it's a story of the miraculous. You know, they did a survey in 1961. I forget the name of the... You probably turned me down a little bit. I probably don't need that much right now. But I forget the name of the periodical, but it's a Christian magazine, and they studied eight different seminaries and all the graduating classes of that year. And they did a survey with them on some of the things that are orthodox, you know, faith and what are orthodoxy, you know, clear doctrine and clear understanding. And one of the questions in the survey was, do you believe the virgin birth? And, you know, 52% of the graduating classes that year said they did not believe in the virgin birth. That was in 1961. Isn't that sad? A lot of those people went into pulpits. A lot of those people went to become leaders of churches and organizations. And today we see a lot of liberal thought has crept into the church. And some think, well, you know, religion, Christianity, all these other religions, all that stuff. If people need some kind of a crutch, some kind of a philosophy to help them through the absurdity of life, I guess you got to believe in something. We have a lot of people even in pulpits that don't really believe in God, but believe in the philosophy of whoever this Jesus was. And it's good teachings. It's nice stuff. And it's nice to talk about, and it's not a bad way to live life. But I'll tell you, if Christ did not come, and if he was not indeed God, and he did not live a sinless life, and he did not give up his life and die on that cross and then be raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, we of all people are to be pitied. Because we're just sitting in this room playing some little religious game without hope, without power, without a future, without any reason at all. But I'm not here on some hopeless pursuit. I'm here because I have a personal living relationship with a risen Lord and Savior. And I think what an amazing God's plan always was. He created mankind for fellowship. He created man that he could be with us. He created man so he could be in us, that he could have communion with us. He has a vast capacity to love. It says, because of his great love for us, to satisfy his own desire and his own goodness. He said, I want to make people like me. I want to give them absolute liberty and freedom. I want to love them. I want to enjoy them. I want to have a relationship with people of the same stuff as I am. Isn't it amazing? What a great plan. It got all goofed up and messed up, and mankind fell away and was rebellious. But God had a plan before the foundations of the world. Before the foundation of the world, before there was sin, before there was the Garden of Eden, God had a plan to send his own son to redeem us all so that we could be brought into a relationship with him that had nothing to do with my ability to be pleasing to him, but it had everything to do with the finished work of his own son to bring us into a covenant that only depended on his goodness. Isn't that amazing? Not my goodness, but I'm in a relationship where he fulfills both ends of the partnership and I get all the blessing of it. Woo! What a great plan. Where do I sign up? Because it sounds like real good stuff. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't want to read a little bit of the Christmas story to you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verse 18. Shamba Bingay. We're all being snowed in, but we have sandwiches upstairs. Please stay behind and you can have a salmon sandwich. Salmon sandwich. Maybe even some egg. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, most scholars all believe clearly that Mary was no more than 14. Espoused to be married to Joseph, And in that situation, once she was espoused, they were married. It was pretty much the commitment was made. And imagine this poor little girl saying to her husband-to-be, "I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost." I don't know, that wouldn't fly in my home. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, or other translations say he was a righteous man. A righteous man. Now, when the Word of God says you're right, now you can tell me you're righteous, that's all good. You know what? You're righteous because of the finished work of the cross. And if you have a relationship with him, you can say, "I am the righteousness of Christ." It's wonderful. But then when the Word of God says he was a righteous man, he's a pretty good feller. He's a righteous guy, and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privily. He decided to, you know, dismiss her and divorce her quietly and secretly. Verse 20. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, Joseph." I don't know. He probably said, "Joe." I don't know. But anyway, "Joe, dude. Descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in of is of and from and out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Hallelujah, that's good stuff. Verse 22, "Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. "Then Joseph, being raised up from sleep, did say," what kind of pizza did we have last night? No, he said, "Joseph, being raised up from his sleep, as did the angel of the Lord had bidden him, he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not." He had no union with her, but before her firstborn son. And he was born, and they called his name Jesus. Jesus. That's pretty amazing stuff. Here we've got Joseph. It's a pretty interesting situation, a bit of a dilemma, a bit of a crisis in his life. I mean, the girl I'm going to marry is pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Yikes. I mean, you know, God had to go to incredible lengths to choose these guys. And he chose Joseph to be the father. And Joseph was a guy presented with a pretty huge crisis, and he wanted to do the right thing. He was going to divorce her because he didn't quite go along with that Holy Ghost story, you know. Nice girl and all, but, you know. But then when he was presented with the angel coming in a dream, I mean, he had a choice to make. But being a righteous man, he chose, "I'm going to be obedient to God." And you know, he may have looked at this, "What is this? What kind of future do I have here?" But he was obedient, and he responded to the claims and the call of God. And he did what the Lord asked him to do. Now let's go to where that prophecy's found. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 7 of Isaiah, because I want you to see where the prophecy that the angel referred to is. And I want to look at the background there, the context, and just draw out a few lessons for us today. That unto us is born a child. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. It says, "In the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not conquer it." Now, so what we have is we have two kings that have joined together to come and conquer. Now, if you read the history in the background in Kings and in 2 Chronicles 25, you'll see that they had already, these guys had already had a battle before this battle, and 120,000 men of Judah died in one of the battles. Now, they had suffered some pretty serious defeats. And now they came down and they said to Judah, "Look, the Assyrians, these guys are coming down and they're looking to fight with us. So they wanted Judah to make a covenant with them and, you know, come into agreement with us that we're going to, you know, defeat these people." But Judah said, "No, no, no, we're not going to do it." So these guys said, "You know what? Let's knock Judah out completely. Let's wipe them out. If they're not going to be with us and not for us, let's just get them out of our backyard and obliterate them." So that's what they were going to do. They said, "We'll set our own vassal in there, and then whatever they make, we'll take some profits from it, you know, and let's just knock these guys out altogether." That's the background. That's the context. So this is a king who's already suffered miserable defeats from these people. They want him to come into an agreement with them. He refuses to. And now they have come and laid siege to the city again, and things are not pretty. Verse 2, "And it was told the house of David, Judah, that Syria is allied with Ephraim, and the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled and shook as the trees of the forest tremble and shake with the wind. Now, why did they get all fearful? Because they'd already suffered massive abuse from these other kings. They'd already experienced when they said they'd attack us last time, they did, and it wasn't pretty, so here they come again. So they trembled and they shook. How many think this is not a real good day? If you study this king, though, he was a wicked king. He was a disgusting king. He went to Assyria and he saw, I mean, they were knocking off everybody. So in his mind, he thought, if these guys are being victorious in the earth, it must be because their God's bigger than our God. So he decided to come back to Jerusalem and he got rid of all the stuff out of the temple and he put up a bunch of things fashioned after Assyrian gods. And on every corner, it says he set up idols, Assyrian idols, and he turned the people fully into completely idolatrous serving of gods of other nations. I mean, this was an awful and a wicked king. How many think he deserves a good butt kicking? He gotta go. I mean, that's what I'd reckon. I mean, he's done some evil, wicked stuff. I mean, this guy is just too dumb to see reality. So, what does God do? What does God do? God sends Isaiah, and he says, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and his son, Shear-Jezub, or, you know, whatever his name is. He named his son, a remnant shall return. And he says, he's at the end of the aqueduct or the canal in the upper pool on the highway of the Fuller's Field. Now, here's the king. He says, the king is up there. And what's the king doing? There's a siege. So I want to make sure that this aqueduct that we've established to get continuous source of water in the city, I want to make sure it's okay. I want to make sure that we at least always have water. And we want to make sure that this thing is functioning right and working right. Because these armies are coming. They're laying siege to our city and our country. And, you know, this is miserable. So he's there, you know, inspecting this stuff, making sure that hope we can last through this nasty siege. So the Lord sends him Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet comes and he speaks to him a message right in this context, right in this place. And as I agree with you, he doesn't deserve anything good. Not at all. But here's what God says. God says, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. Isn't God good? I mean, this guy, you read what he did. He was a wicked, wicked king. He took the people away from worshiping God. But God sends a prophet to him and says, hey, cheer up. Don't be afraid. Don't even be faint-hearted. It's a good word. Because of those two stumps, those smoking firebrands, at the fierce anger of the Syrian king and Remaliah, the king of Israel, he says, because Syrian Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have proposed this evil against you, don't worry about it. Don't you worry yourself a bit. Don't be faint-hearted. Fear not. Don't worry. These are just two stumps. You ever had a campfire? You ever burned one big nasty campfire and you wake up in the morning, there's a couple of burnt out logs there. And I mean, they're just charcoal and there's still a little bit of smoke there. But have you ever been afraid of a fire like that? You'll generally go in there, grab it. And he's basically saying, these guys are not flaming torches. These guys are burnt out has-beens. They're nobodies. Don't be afraid of them. But I mean, Ahaz is like, don't be afraid of them. My God, last time they came down, 120,000 men were killed. What do you mean? I mean, how many know when you've experienced that kind of hardship and disappointment, it's a pretty strong manifestation in your memory banks. And sometimes it's hard to hear a good word when all you got is nastiness surrounding you. So he's just, you know, suddenly, you know, the prophet's saying, don't be afraid, don't worry about it. These guys are just, they're just burnt out. They're nobodies. They're pretty much done. He said, the head of the Syrian Damascus, and the head of Damascus is King Rezin. He said, within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken into pieces. It won't even be a people. And the head of the capital, Ephraim, and Samaria, and the head of Samaria, Remaliah's son, Pekah. If you will believe, let me read that again. If you will not believe and trust and rely on God and his words and the prophets, surely you will not be established, nor will you remain. Let's read the end of verse 9 in the authorized. It says, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Wow. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Said the head. He said, moreover, the Lord spake again to King Ahaz, saying, This is good. Just want to stop here for a second. You got to believe. He's got to believe the word that was spoken to him. If you study the history of it, you'll find out that the one king, he was assassinated only a couple years later. And the other guy, he was beat up and destroyed. And you know, God knows what's going on. He really does. He knows the beginning from the end, and he's aware of your circumstances. I mean, he knows exactly where you're at. But you know what? If you don't believe, you won't be established. I mean, God's coming, and honest to goodness, he needs a butt kicking. He really does. I mean, this guy is just, he doesn't deserve the kindness and goodness of God. Anybody ever felt like that? I'm not worthy. And it's really, that's true, you're not. But bless God, he loves you anyway. And you know what? He's done everything to qualify you so that he can bless you. You know, every course you had to take, every exam you had to pass, he did it for you so that he can say, you got straight A's, son, just be blessed. It's awesome, isn't it? But if you don't believe, you will not be established. So we have to exercise faith. All right, let's go on, look at the next verse. This is really fun. I love this. All right, verse 10. He says, moreover, the Lord spoke again to King Ahaz, saying, ask yourself a sign, ask for a token or a proof of the Lord your God, one that will convince you that God has spoken and will keep his word. Now, how many know that God says you shall not tempt the Lord your God? But you see, you're not tempting the Lord your God if he tells you to do it. Like if God offers you a cheesecake and you say, there's a trick in this. There's something in this I don't really want. I mean, if God says take the cheesecake, take the cheesecake. You know what I'm saying? But guy's probably in total shock. He's been walking in darkness so long that God acting nice to him was so foreign to him that he's like, oh my God. How many have been like that? You've been walking in darkness so long, so messed up, that the fact that there's a good word to you, that's shocking. You know, and you feel so self-accused, so beat up, so unworthy of anything that you won't even receive the goodness of God. So you're thinking this must be a trick question because surely he wants to beat the snot out of me. How many have done things worthy of this not being beat out of you? Amen. Praise God. And those who didn't put your hand up, put both up now because you're double worthy. But this guy is so self-condemned, self-possessed, all these other dumb things that he's just like, oh my God, I won't tempt you, Lord. I love what he says. He says, ask what you want. He said, let it be as deep as hell. Let it be as deep as the depths below. Let it be as deep as Sheol, or let it also be as high as the heavens. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Wow. You know, can you think of some of the stuff you'd like to see? Think of something. You can, you know, he says, you can go to the depth of hell or you can go to the heights of heaven. How many would say, I'd like to see hell freeze over? They've always said that'll come when hell, I got a lot of stuff coming to me when hell freezes over. I'd like to see hell freeze over. That'd be cool. Wouldn't that be cool? How many would actually like to see it finally rain cats and dogs? I'll believe you when I say, well, that might be messy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. I mean, we're talking between heaven and hell, everything in between. It's wide open, any kind of a sign. You know, I would love to say, tonight, I want you to bring all the stars together, and I want them all to write right across the sky all night long, really big and bright. Carl is my favorite. I am with him. Don't mess with him or I'll kill you. Could you do that? Because, I mean, these people are coming to kill me. So if you rode across the sky and had it there for 30 days in a row, and especially right over top of them, let them know that Carl is indeed my favorite son. If you mess with him, I will kill you. Could you do that, Lord? He could have done that. I mean, tonight, I want to see the sun do loopity loops like 45 times. Not the sun, but I want to see the moon tonight do loopity loops across the sky. I want to stand there and watch the moon go woo, 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 and do it all month. I want the grass to turn red, the sky purple, and I want the snow to come down green. Just change that all for like a month. Just freak everybody out. I mean, so as a sign, just. And then some of you are saying, $1 million in the bank would be good. That'd be a nice sign too, you know. I mean, you can think of an awful lot of things. This is God himself, and it's not a trick question. Hello. I don't care where you are, what you've done, or what miserable situation you're in, you're probably far better off in the eyes of God than this guy was. But God always bends really, really low. No matter where you are, he knows where you are, and he can find you. And you know what? He loves you, and he doesn't have any negative thoughts about you. He wants to bless you. He's bound and bent. He's moving heaven and earth every day to try to get to you, to bless you, to shake you off and put you on top in every situation. Now, how many think this would be a seminar worth paying to come and hear? I wish it were true. It is true. But if you don't believe, you will not be established. Wow. So he says, I will not tempt you. I will not tempt you. I took everything out of your temple. I established other gods. I sacrificed other gods in your temple, but I won't tempt you. Religion is a wacky thing. And he said, hear now, O house of David. House of David. Do you understand? It's a house of David. That's what Ahaz didn't know. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know the promise he was walking in. But he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you're going to weary God also? How many people do you run into that are wearying God? God wants to bless you. Well, brother, I'm just trying to stay humble. I'm just trying to take little steps in life, Just one day at a time. Hallelujah. How many know that God's sitting there going, you are wearing me out? It says daily he loads me with benefits. And he wants to pour benefits on people, and there's an awful lot of people giving Almighty God a hernia because they just won't receive. You weary God. Lord, I could be doing a lot better, and I know that you could do something if you wanted to, but if you're too busy, don't weary God. Put a demand on him. That would be so cool. I got all these things going through my head even now of all the signs I could ask for. Wouldn't it be neat? Turn Ontario into a massive, the most beautiful beach community in the world. Turn the whole axis of the North Pole. Put the North Pole somewhere in the middle of Russia and make us right on the equator and make this the most beautiful beach community in the world. 85 degrees every day, no humidity. Ask anything. My goodness. I'm like, I could. And God can do that kind of stuff. I'd be asking some crazy stuff, wouldn't you? Wow. He says, you're going to weary God also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. So the Lord says, all right, you're not going to ask for a sign. Then I'm going to give you a sign. And what's the sign of? Ask for a sign that I will totally destroy your enemies before you. That none of these things that rise up against you will overcome you or overwhelm you. I'm going to give you a sign that I am for you. Even though you don't deserve my goodness or my grace, I'm going to give you a personal sign. I'm going to give you a sign that I am for you and that I want to be with you and that I want to bless you with everlasting blessing. Woo! Well, that's great. So he tells this guy, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. What is the sign? And here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Easy. Settle down. Oh my goodness. You know what that means? We got a sign. If you're wondering, I wonder if God can bring me through this. I'm wondering, I need some proof. I need some evidence. I need a sign from God that we can defeat this cancer. I need a sign from God that I'm going to get through this recession. I need a sign from God that my family's going to be restored. I need a sign from God that he can supernaturally invade my circumstances and turn this mess around. I need a sign from God. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's close in prayer. It's just, never mind. I tried. What are you going to do? Maybe too much Christmas shopping, eggnog. I don't know. That's why I love Christmas, because every time we celebrate this, it brings me back to the fact that he is for me. He will rebuke every enemy before me. He is for me no matter what my circumstances look like. I'm going to be victorious in this. No matter how ugly it gets, I'm only condemned to a life of total victory. Woo! All right, and I'm going to give you a few points just for your notebooks, just so you can get some things in your notebooks. How many like points? I'm a very pointed pastor. I love points. So I'm going to give you a few points. You ready? I'm going to just give you a few observations because, you know, here's God's gift to you this year. It's the same one he always gives. He's giving you himself. Like when he came to Abraham, "Abraham, I am your great shield and your very great reward." And Abraham's like, "Where's the kid?" But God comes and says, "I am your great reward. I am the gift." Where's the beef? Let me give you four little points here. I love, let me turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I want to turn to that just in the Amplified. The worship team was singing that a bit this morning. It's pretty cool. But I love the Amplified version of that verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's nice to hear those pages fluttering. Verse 5. He says, "Let your character and moral persuasion and disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. For he, God himself, has said, 'I will not in any way fail you, nor will I give up on you, nor will I leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor will I relax my grip on you. Assuredly not.'" How many, isn't that a good enough verse right there? I mean, memorize that one and do it in the Amplified, because the Amplified, you see, in all other translations, they say, "I will not relax my grip on you," or "I will not forsake you." It in the original, it says, "I will not, I will not, I will not." I mean, I don't know why translators did that. I mean, well, why repeat those "will nots"? I mean, I'm a preacher. I like repeating stuff. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I was in Cuba. I had an interpreter once, and I went, "Praise the Lord." And she said, "Praise the Lord." And then I went, "Praise the Lord." She said, "He said the same thing." And I went, "Praise the Lord." She said, "He said the same thing again." So an interpreter we had with us later told me that she really wasn't working with you. So I insisted they get a new translator, or I was going back to the resort for a swim. And they were like, "But she's the official one." I said, "I don't care who she is. She's not going to translate for me. See, she is the filter. Whatever I say goes through her. And when what I say gets blocked up and stuck in her, you're not going to get nothing. So get another translator. I'm going swimming." So they got one. It's real good. But you know what it says right here? "I will not. I will not. I will not. Assuredly not. Let you down, relax my grip on you. I will not leave you without my hand and my touch in your life." Wow. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. How many know that song? Oh, you're very old. Let's go to 4 points. Let's move on. You ready? Number one, the position. We shared about the position he was in 2 Chronicles 25. You can read there, but it says, "Now in the time of distress, King Ahaz, in a time of distress, King Ahaz, in a time of distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord." I mean, this guy was a hurting unit. He became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Listen, it said, "If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." I mean, we got a difficult time, really wicked times, real awful times. But what I love is that God stoops really, really low. Isn't that good? Anybody feel low? Not today. I tell you, if you ever feel low or you ever think you're just at the bottom looking up and it says bottom, I mean, you can always say, "You know what? I qualify for the goodness of God. He really is that gracious. He really does bend really, really low." So no matter what position you're in today, the message of Christmas is Emmanuel. God's ready to break you out in every single way. Number two is the promise. He says, "Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." And he's like, ask God for a sign. Ask me. From the depths of hell to the height of the heavens, ask me. And I want to prove to you that I'm going to be good. Isn't that wonderful stuff? I mean, the promise is incredible. And you know what? When stuff comes and things come to attack you and hinder you, here's a good promise. Take heed. Be quiet. I mean, don't be afraid. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't fear, because God is for you. Amen. Let's go on to the third point. The pig-headed, all right? I had to find some alliteration today. I put stubborn, I put obstinate. I was trying to find some P's. I put obstinate in, and my synonyms pointed out pigheaded. I went, that's a P, it'll work. Fits my alliteration. How many love alliteration? I think this is probably the first time I've ever had a P named pigheaded. You know, so my P today, my third P in the sermon is pigheaded. Amen. Any pigheaded here today? I mean, he's pigheaded. I mean, Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Some people are so overwhelmed by strong manifestations of their circumstances, they refuse. They refuse is like, you know, it's like really bad refusing. Refuse, not like refusing is refusing, but when you refuse, that's really bad. That's when the manifestation is really strong. Anybody had life manifest to you pretty strongly? You know, when it's manifested real strong, like when they say you got cancer and you know what, you're feeling it. When they say you got it and you're kind of going, that's why I feel awful. When they say, you know, that tumor, we're not sure, it may be cancerous, and it's sticking halfway off your head, that's a pretty strong manifestation. Because every time you look in the mirror, you go, oh, that's nice. You know, maybe a little bit of concealer. Is that right, concealer? I don't know. Is that concealer? Whatever. The war paint, you know, the stuff. If it needs paint, paint it. You know what I mean? It's all good. But anyway. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when that's there, how many think that's a pretty strong manifestation? I mean, when you got a headache and your head is going, I mean, you got three pulses, one here, one there. You know, and then as soon as you open the door, the sunlight hits you like, ah, the sunlight screams at you. Ah. I mean, that's a pretty strong manifestation. Yeah. Hey? You ever had an ingrown toenail? And it hurts. The stuff manifests itself to you. Is anybody experiencing any manifestations right now? And you know, it's pretty real. You know it's there. That's why sometimes I'm praying for people. I say, are you in pain right now? They say, I am. I want you to feel the pain. Well, I do feel the pain. No, I want you to really, really feel it. What are you talking about? I want you to know it. I want it to be so clear to you because I'm about to rebuke it and command it to go. I had a girl in Wales with back pain. I said, I want you to feel it. I want you to really, really feel it. I want you to really, really know where it is. I want you to go right there. I want you to be so fleshly aware of it because I'm about to rebuke it, command it to go, and I want you to be, wow. You know, I said, I command the pain to go now in the name of Jesus. Woo! And she went, that's a little better. I went, a little better's good. But I tell you, whatever's manifesting, whatever's coming at you in life, I'm telling you, don't be pigheaded. Don't be pigheaded. Don't let that manifest so strongly to you. Don't be so overwhelmed by your manifestation that you forget the promise of God. Let me go to the last point. The purpose. Because there's purpose in this. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz didn't understand. That's why he said, O house of David, O house of David, how long will you be obstinate? You see, Ahaz didn't realize that I got purposes for this house. I got purposes for your lives. And I don't care how many kingdoms or whatever rises up against us. I'm telling you, Ahaz, whether you like it or not, through your loins, I am going to bring the deliverance of the world. Let me say this to you, house of David. Let me say it to you, house of New Life. Let me say it to you, house of Terry. Let me say it to you, house of Bill. You know, house of Bob, house of Fred. Let me say it to you. God has chosen in and through you to bring forth the deliverance and the manifestation of his purpose in the earth. We say that the house of Powell, rise up and be blessed, because God has chosen to use and to work in and through you a manifestation of his glory in the whole earth. You know what? I don't care what the manifestation is. I tell you, the purpose of God supersedes all of that stuff, and you are so blessed. I mean, you've already got a sign of that blessing. The virgin already bore the child. His name's Jesus. He was already born. He's alive and well. It's a historical fact, a prophetic reality. It is now, and you know what? Shake off everything that tries to adversely affect you because you were born to triumph in every situation and circumstance. So, I mean, this Christmas season, when you go back to family and you go into places, you go into situations where hell is reigning and ruling, you before you walk in, you say, I bind every force of hell right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke everything that is adverse to the purposes of God and the kingdom of God. You said, where I go, every place my feet tread, the kingdom of God comes into full manifestation. I rebuke everything adverse to that right now. I loose the kingdom of God in my circumstances, in my family circumstances. I bring the glory of God to bear wherever I am. And I can do it because I've had a sign. I've got a sign. I've got a sign. Just go back to that one slide for me. Can you? He wants to show up in your life today. He wants to show up in your life today. He wants to be God with you. He wants to manifest in you, to you, through you, that he is a gracious and a loving God. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Ha ha, Christmas. Ho ho ho. Well, I forgot. I had an engineer who wrote out all the details about Santa's sled and how if he actually tried to do it, he would have been vaporized in 4.2 seconds. But anyways, I'll send it to you by email. How many feel a little gooder? How many know, isn't he awesome? Isn't he wonderful? No, you don't need nothing more than that word. It's a powerful word. And you know what God, when you had a problem, you know what God did? He sent his word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what you need? You need a word. Here's the word. He loves you with an everlasting love. There's no weapon forged against you can prosper. He has put you always on top, never beneath. He says, I've delivered you, and I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. And listen, son, I will not forsake you or leave you without support. I'll never relax my grip on you. Assuredly not. I condemn you to a season of victory. I condemn you to a season of overcoming. I condemn you to a season of the miraculous. I condemn you to breakthrough upon breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Come on, stand up. We're going to pray for you.